Welcome to And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer. We are two good friends navigating the twists and turns of that middle part of life, and we are laughing our way through it.
Don't get us wrong, it's not all that funny all the time. There's so much we are unprepared for. Adult children, changing bodies, aging parents. We want you to know that you are not alone in these challenges. So sit back, get a front row seat as we share true life stories with a fresh perspective and just a pinch of irreverence. And That's When I Realized starts now.
Hey everyone, welcome to And That's When I Realized. I'm Leon Dyer.
And I'm Susan Dolce.
And this is a show where we're talking about the truth and comedy of midlife. So Susan and I are best friends, and we get together almost every Friday. It's going to be better this year, Susan. And we share our week, the joys, the challenges, the laughs, and we discuss all those things that friends share. I don't know about you, but we thought by the time we were in our mid-50s, we would kind of have it figured out. But it turns out there's a whole lot we didn't expect. So in today's show, we're starting the new year with a serious topic of fitness, wellness, and the unmentionable pelvic floor. So grab a cup of coffee, tea, or whatever you drink and join us in this discussion on how we can retain your body for a happier future. And today we have a guest. So Susan, this is kind of exciting.
Yeah, we have been wanting to have a specialist on this topic for a while, and it took a lot of effort, but I was bound and determined because, as we were just saying before we started, this is a really important topic. Mm-hmm. And so today we are talking with Carrie Kreiman. She is a longtime instructor of Pilates, fitness, dance, and movement. Her teaching certifications include Pilates. I think that's how you say it. It's PF. Yes. It's like Pilates, pelvic floor performance training with board certified urogynecologist, Dr. Bruce Crawford. She's also trained in the Franklin Method pelvic floor fascia training with Eric Franklin, and a functional aging specialist and functional aging group exercise specialist with the Functional Aging Institute, which was founded by Dr. Dan Ritchie and Dr. Cody Sipe. She's on a journey with her clients and in her own body to figure out how to negotiate the harsh realities of aging while still celebrating the miracle of the human body. Carrie is the owner of the Pilates Works Studio in Fort Worth, Texas, where she teaches practical Pilates and functional fitness, both in the studio and through online virtual classrooms. So we are so happy to have you. This is when we were coming up with the concept for the show, this was something we said, we have to talk about this, because one of the things in all of the notes that you sent us is like, people wait too long to ask or to seek help. So let's just get started with like the basic question. I mean, we hear the word pelvic floor a lot. And like, explain what that is. Explain to us where it is, what it's for.
Sure. The pelvic floor is a group of muscles at the bottom of the pelvis and fascia and other tissue that support function and also just keep your organs from falling out the bottom of your pelvis. So that is why it is such an important area of the body. Usually when people are cueing, the idea is to think primarily about the muscles that stretch between the pubic bone, the tailbone, and the two sitting bones, which are the ischial tuberosities at the bottom of the pelvis. Kind of a diamond.
Okay. All right. And so, you know, it's like, we're going to talk about Kegels and stuff, but Leon and I were having a discussion when we were prepping for this, and she was talking about her birth experience. And I mean, there's a lot of things that bring on these urinary incontinence, like you were saying. It could be, part of menopause. It could be childbirth. So I'd like Leon to take this one for a minute.
Well, actually, we were discussing this, and I'm not quite there yet where I'm feeling I need to address, or I didn't think I was. So I was kind of like saying, okay, this isn't really for me, but it's for like my mother and my mother-in-law. And I know Susan's mother-in-law also had issues. And so I'm like, okay, so this is like in the future. Just recently I hurt my back, and all of a sudden I realized my urgency to use the bathroom was so greater. And I'm like, oh, this is so here now. This is not good. But my birth experience one.
We'll get to the birth experience because we're talking about, I want to stop you there for a second, because I know like one of the things that we were going to talk about is core strength, which we never even, like, I was surprised when I was reading through your notes that that has something to do with it.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, honestly, the more I learn about all this and train in these systems, it's really a very complex picture, because and part of it actually has to do with our fascia, which is the connective tissue in the body. And the fascia that's in the pelvic floor is actually contiguous with the fascia in your lower back and like down into your legs and your inner thigh muscles. And so all this connective tissue can also get pulling on other muscles. And so any muscle that gets overly tight or overly lax through the body systems that need balance from the connective tissue, also you can start having a problem in another area. So lower back problems can be connected to pelvic floor problems, and it gets a little overwhelming. Also, you know, you were mentioning about the prolapse thing. Prolapse in its early stages usually doesn't have any symptoms. And so then very gradually over time, as other kinds of movement and gravity and degradation of tissue starts to happen, then that prolapse that you didn't know was there can start to sink a little lower, and then you start having more symptoms. So, it's often a hidden problem for a long time. And it's especially a problem for anybody who's had vaginal childbirth, because, you know, a baby is large. It's like Dr. Crawford likes to say, there's really no good way to get a baby out. it's big. It's got to get out of there.
Yeah.
And there's going to end up being some damage. It's different for different people. And even just from all the hormonal changes that happen in your body during pregnancy to enable the tissue to change, to enable the pelvis to be mobile enough for childbirth to take place, all these things impact the integrity of the various muscles and fascia.
I have a question about prolapse, if we can go back to that for a minute, because as Leon was saying, actually it was my mother, not my mother-in-law, but my mom had a hysterectomy. I think she was like 45. And it wasn't until she was into her late 70s, early 80s that the prolapse became, really significant. And she ended up needing a pessary, several different kinds over time. But is that, so a prolapsed bladder, I know we're kind of jumping around here a little bit, but does that only happen, like can that can't happen in the presence of all of your normal organs? Like she had a hysterectomy. Can it? I guess that's my question. Can it happen to just anybody, a prolapsed bladder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's my understanding that it can't. I mean, the thing is, I think it happens to different degrees to different people for different reasons. Okay. And I think also sometimes prolapse might start in one area, but like maybe it starts with a vaginal prolapse versus a bladder prolapse, but things can start pulling on other things. Stuff starts coming down. And then also if the pelvic floor muscles aren't activating enough, aren't strong enough, you know, just gravity is going to gradually be, you know, pulling these tissues downwards. So as people maybe retire too and aren't getting as much movement in, or they're sitting more, they're not walking as much, maybe they aren't walking as much to a job or whatever, you don't really realize how fast muscles can decondition. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you can't build them back up. But the other issue you brought up in regard to the childbirth, you can have different amounts of nerve damage that need, like those nerves need to kind of regenerate and reactivate. And you have to kind of retrain muscles. So like part of Dr. Crawford's thing, and you or had already mentioned him a couple of times, I should say, Dr. Bruce Crawford, he is a board certified urogynecologist, and he developed this Pilates method that combines like the more traditional Kegel exercises that were created by Dr. Arnold Kegel, and he first published about that in the late 1940s. And then he also took ideas from Pilates and core strengthening and wanted to find a more productive, efficient, functional ways for people to regain their pelvic floor strength faster. Your core strength has to do with a combination of your deep spinal muscles, your deep abdominals, and your pelvic floor muscles. And while different exercise systems might sometimes include other muscles, the most important ones are the tiny little ones running along the spine, such as the multifidi, the layer of the transversus abdominis, which is like a corset around your middle, and it's really stretching around everything between your rib cage and your pelvis, and then that pelvic floor. And that's what people now call core strength. And Mr. Pilates was one of the first people to really train for that when he was developing his exercise methods. Now, in more recent decades, and like Mr. Pilates, he was born in the 1800s. a lot of his ideas were more intuitive and based on just experimentation and observation. And what he would have called a scientific method of researching exercise wasn't anything like the sophisticated methods that we have today, where there's much cheaper technology and ways that people can study nerve activation, innervation, things like that. A lot of researchers has started to discover even a few decades ago that just because you train to strengthen a muscle, like let's say at physical therapy, and you're isolating that muscle, just because you train to strengthen it doesn't mean that when you go to do other functional movement that it's necessarily firing in the way that it should. So, like you might have been at physical therapy and somebody's strengthening a certain muscle and you're doing these leg lifts or whatever it is, trying to target certain things. Although it is also hard to target things because there are over 600 muscles in the body. So it's a complicated place. But just because you stop to strengthen that doesn't mean that when the person starts walking, that it's actually firing the way it should when it's stronger, because what it turns out is that our neurology is a lot more complex than just the individual strength of individual muscles. So with research like what Dr. Crawford did, he knew that for women to get the kind of strengthening they needed with their pelvic floor muscles, it really needed to be integrated with other kinds of functional movement. And taking advantage of things like the wiring of the body, which there are certain muscles that just tend to fire with other muscles, and they also act as co-contractors or facilitate a deeper co-contraction of another muscle group because of how your body is wired. So let's say you feel like you can't really do a Kegel at all. And a basic Kegel would be just like trying to squeeze your pelvic floor muscles. So like you could just tell somebody to think about like if you're trying to stop your pee or you're trying to avoid passing gas or having a bowel movement, whatever it is, and just squeezing those muscles and then releasing them. That would be your basic Kegel. You might maybe feel like you can hardly do one when you're just sitting still or standing or on your back, depending on, you know, what the state that your pelvic floor is in. That in itself can be discouraging. Plus it's kind of boring and you're not really moving any of the other muscles that are going to help that pelvic floor engage. So Dr. Crawford took over 120 exercises that were primarily Pilates exercises, and he tested people while being wired up to look for amount of co-contraction of the glutes, the deep abdominals, and the inner thigh leg adductors, and how those muscles working together would also facilitate a deeper co-contraction of the pelvic floor. And they tested many people who were just ordinary people. And then they picked the top performers, and they also picked the best sequencing for what would help people get the best engagement of the pelvic floor. Because the pelvic floor has a combination of fast twitch and slow twitch muscle fibers, and also like muscles that you have conscious control over and ones you really don't have conscious control over, he wanted to be sure that his exercise system would incorporate a way to encourage all those kinds of muscle fibers to contract and get strengthening. And that that has to do with the overall sequencing that he created that includes this idea of going into a plyometric pulsing phase. But you have to do a like an isometric hold first before you get into that pulsing. I know it all sounds very complicated, but in reality, they picked 10 of the top performers. The idea is that you learn the 10, and that what they know now is that really, if you just pick two or three of them and do them every day, even just for 5 minutes, usually they ask people to do like 5 minutes twice a day. And the data they've been collecting, it's like 80% of 80% of the people have at least 50% improvement in their bladder symptoms in just 4 weeks. And often within 2 to 3 months, their bladder symptoms are gone. So the fitness aspect of how all this works is that it's really, a lot of it's a neuromuscular problem. So like if you're having trouble doing a Kegel at all, by going through the other exercises where you're engaging the glutes, the inner thighs, and working to engage the deeper core, as you're focusing on all those other things, that in itself is going to help reinnervate those pelvic floor muscles to where they all kind of gradually get stronger together and you get that pelvic floor strength back.
That is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, up until like I heard about Pilates a couple of years ago, you know, I thought that like the only exercise was a Kegel and that was the only thing I knew about. And this makes so much sense. And I think of all of the women who suffer in silence, who don't want to talk about it, who, one of the things you mentioned, in your notes that kind of blew me away, and I never looked at it from this point before, was like, it's an industry to cater to the incontinence versus to fix the incontinence.
Yes, it is. And, I think Dr. Crawford said that like, it's like $20 billion a year are spent on like pads and diapers. And, you know, we need those things for the people who really need them. And we should all be very grateful that there are companies that provide them. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you should be using first line defense of fitness and wellness until you absolutely have to have something like that. And statistically, one of the top reasons why people are admitted to nursing homes is incontinence. You know, like you lose your independence, you lose your quality of life. You know, you may feel like you can't go places anymore, or you don't want to take a long trip. There's just so many layers to it. With the pad part, there is at least one company that is now making a really nice panty for women where it will take care of light leakage without you having to buy pads. And it is a really good company. They are expensive, but they also have a version for periods. And I have a number of clients who have just sung the praises of this company. The period panties are called Thinks, THINX, and the leakage ones are called Speaks, SPEAX. So that might be something else that some of your listeners want to check out. You know, it can even be a temporary thing that you're using for a while you're trying to get your strength back together. Yeah.
So right now I'm like thinking, wow, okay. So I'm very open, both Susan and I, about our age. We're in our mid to late 50s. And so we had our children in our 30s. I had to think about that. Like, how old was I? So should we be like, it's not too late for us to like start.
It's never too late.
Okay. Thank you.
And, I should have said that right away, you know, and I mean, really about so many aspects of fitness. You know, it's really never too late to make amazing changes in the body. And I think what people need to remember is that it's really about incremental change. And you don't want to get discouraged. You also don't want to overdo. I know sometimes people will have like a New Year's resolution, and I know this is airing after the New Year, so I feel like I should mention this. Sometimes people have a New Year's resolution that'll be like, I'm going to go to the gym every day, and I'm going to do this. And they actually end up overdoing and hurting themselves. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we know now through more detailed research about muscles and fascia is that your muscle fibers, they grow and develop and strengthen faster than your fascia does. And so you can be already bulking up on muscle and feeling like you're gaining a lot of strength, But if your ligaments and tendons that are supporting that muscle haven't had enough time to strengthen in the same way, you can actually end up blowing out ligaments and tendons and connective tissue and stuff. So all like your fascia that runs through your whole body, it really, even your muscles, they're really just kind of fascial sacs that have muscle fibers inside them. That's something we know now. So like the fascia itself is running like between things inside the muscle, like between spindles, and it's around sections of muscle, it's around the muscle, and it's the fascia that just grows right into the other fascia of the ligaments and tendons, whereas those muscle fibers are sitting inside those sacs.
This is so complex. I'm glad you've done all the work. You can share this with us. I'm so, I'm like blown away by all this. We are going to take a pause here. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to talk more about pelvic floor health. I also like to get into what that means for us sexually also. I think it's an important topic. We're not going to dance around it. We're going to have the hard, unmentionable conversation. But right now we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to And That's When I Realized, and we'll be right back.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Do you feel like you and your significant other have lost their initial spark? Then let Coach Martez and Wadrina guide you to strengthen your love and reignite that spark on the Coach Martez and Wadrina Layton Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Understanding love, accepting truth, and changing perspective. For more information, make sure you go to dreambuilderscoaching.net. That is dreambuilderscoaching.net.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to And That's When I Realized. I'm Susan Dolce. I am here with my co-host, Leon Dyer. And today we're interviewing Carrie Kreiman. She's a pelvic floor specialist. I'm making it easy because it's a lot of words. She's trained in so many aspects of pelvic floor health. The most important thing here today is how people can find you. Where can they go to find you and work with you? Because this is what you do is really important. And it's, I think it's sort of rare. I think it's hard to find somebody with your specialty.
Sure. My website is pilates.works. It's pilates.works. It is a specialty domain name. So there's no .com or anything like that. And I would like to mention that I would be happy to send a PDF version of a bladder diary to any of your listeners for free. If they want to send an email to info@pilates.works, and you could just put bladder diary in the subject line. And I'd also be happy to offer discounts on upcoming workshops and things like that.
And if you go to the description of this episode on transformationtalkradio.com, there is a link there. You'll see the directions on how to get in touch with Carrie if you missed what she just said. But the PDF diary, I mean, the bladder diary, I think is great, because what you say is like, if you're not keeping track of your water intake, you know, like concentrated urine is going to have an effect on our bodies. Like, and, you know, I know that we're supposed to drink a lot of water for just our health and hydration, but I never really thought about it in terms of urinary health.
Well, and really You can have a problem either direction. You could be drinking too much water and be irritating your bladder. You could be drinking not enough and irritating your bladder. Dr. Crawford encourages everyone to do a bladder diary for at least 3 days and to include recording all of your fluid intakes and what you drank and when, and kind of noticing what your patterns are. He sometimes jokes about the four horsemen of the bladder, which are coffee, tea, alcohol, and soda. And they can all be irritants to the bladder and or foster just increased urination, and any of those things can irritate the bladder. So sometimes, you know, overactive bladder can just be from irritation. And I know, like lately, I've been having overactive bladder just from drinking too much coffee to counteract the amount of Benadryl I've been taking for my allergies. And, you know, you have to keep experimenting with how all these things are balancing out. But I mean, I know it's not the best thing for me to be doing.
You know what I've noticed? This is okay. We're all sharing. If I have too many tomato products, like a lot of tomato products in several days in a row, it'll affect me, the acidity in the tomato products.
Yes. Anything with a lot of acid, you could even consider looking for like a low acid coffee. If you drink a lot of coffee, you know, you have to think about how all these things in the picture fit together. Also, if you are having to get up more than once at night, that in itself is considered a form of overactive bladder. Once a night is still considered, you know, in the realm of normal. And they usually say if you're having to void more than 7 times in a 24-hour period, that is overactive bladder. I mean, I can tell you that most of my clients have overactive bladder. You know, we have people that come in here and they have to go to the bathroom before the session starts, and they have to go to the bathroom after the session ends, and then they're on their way. Of course, if you end up doing a lot of exercises where you're like squeezing your pelvic floor or something, you know, that in itself can kind of make you have to go to the bathroom.
So before the break, I mentioned that I want to ask, and Leon, chime in here if you have other things to add, but So it's not just about our bladder health. A strong pelvic floor also affects our sexual function.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you can also have a pelvic floor that's too tight. And that causes a whole other kind of pain and dysfunction for people. And you could be surprised how often that might be the case. Sometimes even just people's glutes have gotten way too tight, and then the pelvic floor gets too tight along with them, stuff like that. You can have a pelvic floor that's too tight and still have a leakage problem, because the muscles in your pelvic floor, they need to be able to contract and release for proper function. Really, all the muscles in your body have to be able to do both. So most people have over 640 muscles in the body, and any place there's a muscle, it means that that's a place your body needs to be able to both kind of like shorten and lengthen. It needs to be able to do those things. So when muscles get locked up, the organs and tissue around them, it all starts to lose function in different ways. And since, you know, we have major body systems connected to the pelvic floor, you know, a lot of kinds of functioning can get impacted by the weakness or strength of the pelvic floor. I feel like I should also be mentioning that as you get older, you know, you probably have a lot more need for lubrication. And your body may not be as responsive as quickly. You know, you might even just be dehydrated. There's so many issues, but
no, let me take a drink.
Okay. When I did the training with Dr. Crawford, he really wanted to stress that actually, if you don't have enough lubrication, you can have further damage to your pelvic floor because, you know, there's a lot of delicate tissues, a lot of different muscles down there. And, you know, if things are getting pushed and pulled on and there's too much like traction, like all those tissues are getting further degradation just from having a sexual life, you know? So people really need to think about that aspect too. You know, you don't want to end up having that be something else that actually makes an incontinence problem worse. Mm-hmm. There are some companies now that are starting to create some types of lubricants that are like more hypoallergenic and things like that, and that don't have like a bunch of fragrance in them and stuff like that. So that's a good thing too, that there are more of those kinds of products available now, but you need to take that seriously. Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead, Leon. Can I say one thing really quick? Mm-hmm. Something that my gynecologist just recommended, which the way she put it, I was like, I guess that makes a lot of sense. She there are also like vaginal moisturizers, like Replenz and different products like that, that it's just like, she's like, it's like, consider it like moisturizer for your face. It's moisturizer for your vagina. And I was like, okay, I can get on board that. Anyway, I'm sorry, Leon, that I interrupted.
Yes. No, I'm glad you mentioned that, because yes, and thank goodness there are more of these products now, because I mean, as like Dr. Crawford likes to point out, historically, a lot of women's health over centuries was kind of dismissed, not really studied, not really taken seriously, and not proper research done, and really a lot of unnecessary harm to women. He believes that every woman should be doing some kind of physical therapy after giving childbirth. And, you know, historically, nobody's been prescribing this. You can have nerve damage, a significant nerve damage from childbirth. For example, like the pudendal nerve that innervates like this, one of the central muscles, pubococcygeus, around the opening to the vagina. Okay, like that nerve during natural childbirth, it might get stretched up to 35% of its normal length. And most any nerve, if it's stretched more than 15% of its normal length, is damaged. So like when nerve connections get lost, they need to regrow. And so the degeneration of the nerve, it needs movement actually to help it regenerate. And one of the things we know now is that exercise and movement helps to foster the chemical reactions needed for that nerve growth. So if somebody is told to do nothing but rest, they're actually delaying the process of the healing. And as soon as, depending on what kind of damage they had during childbirth, like as soon as it's okay for them to exercise, they should be trying to do exercise.
So when I'm going now back, this is not my question, but I am going back to my two births. my son was huge. I mean, it was a bowling ball coming. I mean, he was huge. And so as you're describing all this, I'm like, oh, there's so much damage, because I actually tore and they had to, I don't even remember how many stitches.
And if you have a tear, you do have to wait longer till you can exercise again. But then it's actually that much more important that you have like something like physical therapy to help you.
Right. Well, that was, you know, 31 years ago. And then my daughter, who had a mind, who still mind of her own, sat on my, it was right there. It's now gone. The nerve, that goes up your
sciatic nerve,
and still, and she's 25. I still have problems with that. So I'm now realizing like, holy shimo. And no one has ever told me about this. Like you, I'm hearing it. Well, yeah, this is it. I'm hearing it now. So I'm feeling like, okay, let's.
Well, it's all such a shame, you know? I mean, like sometimes the more I learn about some of these things, I just get so angry when I think about the history of how women have been treated. But I just, you know, I feel like, well, thank God for people like Dr. Crawford, who really cares about this, even though he's not a woman. And one of the reasons he got so interested in it was because of mission work he'd been doing in Africa, where he was so disheartened that he was doing a lot of surgical repairs on fistulas. And he was surprised at how many women who had the surgical repair ended up still being incontinent afterwards. And he realized that those particular women, you know, they actually just didn't have enough pelvic floor strength in general. And then all this other damage had been done too. And so he wanted to do a lot more research about the fitness and exercise aspect of the strength of the pelvic floor and the control. And I think I forgot to mention earlier that it's like a 200th of a second difference in a firing affects whether or not you stay dry, like even when you like cough. So like the urethra needs to, that sphincter needs to close. Your body knows it's supposed to do that. But it's like a 1/200th of a second difference in the firing makes a difference as to whether you stay dry or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
So complex. Yeah. Okay. We're going to pause there while we ponder how, like what the difference between wet and dry is. So we're going to take one more quick break. You're listening to, And That's When I Realized, and we'll be back in a little bit.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back. This is And That's When I Realized. I'm Susan Dolce. I'm here with my co-host, Leo Dyer, and pelvic floor specialist, Carrie Kreiman. And we have been talking about pelvic floor health, vaginal health, pardon me. And Carrie has a studio. Her website is pilates.works. And you have a studio in Fort Worth, Texas. We can see all of the equipment behind you if you're watching live and not listening. So let's say, you know, I'm that, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? You know, my doctor's saying I need surgery. I really don't want to go through the whole surgical thing and all the issues with the mesh and all that stuff. How can I work with you? And what does that look like? What sort of time does it entail? What sort of progress can I see? Help me.
Sure. Well, I will be offering some Zoom workshops this year where it will be a little easier again for people to learn some of the information in more of a substitute group exercise environment. And usually I feel like for me to cover the basic material well and help you understand it, I usually do about a 3-hour workshop, and then I'll usually have a separate follow-up Q&A and review session like a week later, so that people can come back with their questions or ask for things to be reclarified or ask for something more detailed about a particular exercise. I do also work with private clients in person and over Zoom. And there are other ways that you can even meet and work with other instructors in the country if my offerings and schedule don't work for you. There is even a Pilates kit that you can purchase, where you get like a little ball and instructional guide, educational guide, stuff like that. And I've had some clients have like to do kind of a combination of things. I work with a lot of different clients on a lot of different body problems, really. I've been teaching for a long time, and like this fascial work that I've started doing with the Eric Franklin method on the pelvic fascia, I'm actually going to be doing more studying with him this coming year, because I do want to get better and better at all the fascial options for treatment for people. I'm not a physical therapist. I don't want to pretend to be. I always tell people if I feel like they really need to go to a physical therapist. But because I've been teaching for a long time, and some of my clients have been kind of growing older with me, just as we've all been growing older together, I have just studied more and more about all these aging concerns in my own body and in theirs. And I myself, I'm 59, and I as also an aging dancer with a lot of past injuries and things, you know, I've got a lot of fallout from all sorts of stuff, and a leg length difference and scoliosis. And, it's amazing how just asymmetrical issues. I've had some pelvic floor issues before, just from some of my structural problems, where I've had to work with different people for particular periods of time. I'm sorry, my brain's jumping around too much.
That's okay. And I want to remind everybody too, that you have, you're offering a free PDF ladder diary. And if they email you at info@pilates.works and they put in the subject line bladder diary, that you will email them that PDF. And that's a really good place, as you said, really good place to start, so that you have some idea of what's causing the incontinence, or what you're eating and drinking and how often you're going. Cause I know there are just some days it's weird to me how like the urgency issue comes out randomly. Yeah. Leon's over here shaking her head.
When I pulled my back, it, and you can't get up fast because you have a bad back. So
The urgency thing can be a part of the overactive bladder. There can be a lot of different symptoms related to that. And then I don't think we've really even talked about just the whole stress incontinence thing, really. I mean, I think it may be mentioned at some point, but if you're having leakage during laughing, sneezing, coughing, running, jumping on a trampoline, that's really a stress incontinence issue. That is physical stress. So it's not that you're stressed out. It's just the physicality of what's happening. And then that crucial element of how well those muscles are firing, like I was mentioning about, like just a split second difference in some of that firing can make a difference as to whether you stay dry or not.
I have a quick question before we end. We've been talking completely about women health, but as you're talking, I'm realizing, like, can a pelvic care for men? Same issues?
Well, they have all the same muscles and, mm-hmm. well, most of the same muscles.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few that they don't. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they still have a pelvic floor. That's what I should say. Yeah. Men can practice Kegels and, mm-hmm. You know, you might cue it a little differently, but, you know, your basic idea of like trying to stop pee or gas or whatever, you know, the idea of contracting those muscles, that, you know, men can do those same exercises. There are men that use the Pilates method around the country. Pelvic floor strength affects erectile dysfunction. Dr. Crawford does not specifically do research on men because his area of specialty is urogynecology. But there are researchers in the world who have been doing testing about pelvic floor strengthening with men. And if I remember correctly, like in one of those studies, it was like 40% were able to cure their erectile dysfunction just through pelvic floor strengthening, something like that. Also, there's been studies about like stride length with men and their pelvic floor strength. And really, stride length affects everybody's fascia and how well the fascia is getting its movement, how those muscles are moving. There are like kind of diagonal pulls in the fascia when you are walking. And so if you aren't getting enough steps in, like that alone is affecting your pelvic floor. And, you know, here you're thinking you're just worried about your steps for cardio and cardiovascular things, but it's huge for your pelvic floor. Yes, every time you step, there is that second heartbeat that pushes the blood back up to your heart. So that vascular response in the foot, that is important. But the fact that your pelvic floor gets movement while you're walking, that's a huge thing. Heck, even rotation in the spine. There's subtle natural rotation that happens up and down the spine when you're walking. If you're mostly sitting in a chair and you're not walking around, those spinal muscles aren't getting, and the spine itself, they're not getting the same kind of movement. So everything affects everything. It's very profound. And the way that we can kind of slip into different kinds of deconditioning, you know, it happens to all of us in different ways. And like, I remember a few years ago, I was hearing an astronaut being interviewed on the radio, and they were talking about how they now know that even the first time they would pee in space, they now know that they're like already leaching bone. Like just the very first time in outer space that they would pee, the body's already leaching bone. It's like the nervous system already knows, I don't need this stuff anymore because you're floating around in space.
Wow.
It's like we don't realize how quickly our bodies are adapting and evolving and changing based on our habits and our movement. And like, I remember Eric was talking about how like there's a study or something, like if you even slouch for like a week, they now know that you already lose sarcomeres in some of your deep spinal muscles. Like they just start to go away. So, I mean, the good news is you can rebuild all those things because the body wants to be responsive and adaptive. Yeah. But the bad news is, depending on the choices you're making, you know, it can be a downhill slide.
Yeah. Well, this has been fascinating, and I wish we could keep talking about this because you have such a wealth of information. But the one thing you probably don't know, Carrie, is that Leon is a sticky note fan. And one of the things we always say is that we, you know, midlife didn't come with an instruction book. So we're giving it to you one sticky note at a time.
Yes.
So today's sticky note is, Leon.
Today's sticky note is, healing doesn't mean the damage never existed. It means the damage no longer controls your life. And Susan, I forgot to write down who said that.
It's, I think it's pronounced Akshay Dubey, Dubey,
okay.
A-K-S-H-A-Y.
Okay, so thank you.
Anyway, we thought that fit with the theme today.
Yes,
that it doesn't mean it never existed, but it means that this can be fixed.
Yeah.
And Carrie, we've wanted to have this conversation for so long. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
And thanks for listening to And That's When I Realized, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being here with us today on And That's When I Realized. We are here to shed some light on the misconceptions around midlife by sharing real life stories and a fresh perspective.
Look, we know it's not easy. The change is constant and inevitable. Let's explore what it means to move through challenges with a dose of humor and embrace each challenge, each new discovery with a higher sense of understanding. We hope you heard something today that made you laugh and recognize the truth and comedy of midlife. See you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.